She didn't kill herself.
Before he died.
Okay,
it's really quiet.
So I'll deal with that.
Melissa, she'd been there for quite a while.
Maybe no one noticed she was gone.
After 2 years. Why would one of her neighbours want to kill her?
We all present an image to the world. When we shut the door, we're all alone. That's who we really are. What remains? Brand new original British drama coming soon to BBC One and BBC One HD.
So I don't know about you, but I love detective stories. Put the pieces together and trying to work out who done it, just like what we're doing in the game. Unfortunately, I got it really wrong with What Remains. The whole 4 episodes, I thought it was the creepy old guy who lived in the basement. Nobody liked him. He was acting suspiciously, and he lived in the basement. He seemed like the obvious choice, but it wasn't him. And people do that with Resurrection, don't they? They see the evidence and draw the wrong conclusions. They say that maybe Jesus wasn't really dead when he went into the tomb. Or that the disciples stole the body and made the whole thing up. Or even that everyone who saw the resurrected Jesus was mentally ill, having the same weird hallucination. But it's not only people today who misunderstand the resurrection. Even the people who were closest to Jesus got it wrong. So let's open our Bibles to page 1089. Okay. We're going to look at the first part of our passage, which is John chapter 20, verses 1 to 15. And AJ's going to read that for us. That's page 1089.
So where it says the empty tomb, that's what we're going for. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they've put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter, who was behind him, arrived and went into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the burial cloth that had been around Jesus' head. The cloth was folded up by itself, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes. But Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there. But she did not realise that it was Jesus. "Woman," he said, "why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him."
Okay. So just to give this a bit of context, Jesus has been arrested, crucified, and buried in a tomb. Last week we heard about this crucifixion, a cruel form of execution used by the Romans that was so painful that they had to create a new word to describe it, excruciating, which literally means out of the cross. And the passage just before ours talks of his burial. John 19 verse 40 tells us that Jesus was wrapped in spices and strips of linen in accordance with Jewish burial practices, Plus, common sense tells us that usually when people are buried, it's because they're dead. So I think it's safe for us to accept that that was the case here. And our passage begins on the first day of the week, 3 days after Jesus was killed, where Mary Magdalene discovers that the massive stone that was rolled in front of the tomb has been removed. And so Mary puts on her detective cap to work out what must have happened. She thinks, of course, it's obvious. And if you look at verse 2, you can see what she tells two of the disciples has happened. They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him. Mary assumes that someone has stolen the body. She doesn't know who, but someone must have stolen the body. There's no other explanation. And so Mary carries on with this theory, even though some of the evidence doesn't quite fit. So look down with me at verses 6 and 7. The disciples that Mary went to fetch run to the tomb. Simon Peter goes in and sees strips of linen lying there, as well as the burial cloth that had been around Jesus' head. The cloth was folded up by itself, separate from the linen. That doesn't sound like the work of thieves to me. Far too tidy. But the disciples were satisfied with Mary's theory. The body had clearly gone. And look what they do in verse 10. They go home. But Mary stays, standing outside the tomb crying, when all of a sudden she sees two angels sitting where Jesus' body had been. And they ask her, "Woman, why are you crying?" Just so you've got that, two angels ask her why she's crying. And so her response seems a bit strange. Have a look at verse 13. Again, she says, "They have taken my Lord away, and I don't know where they have put him." She still thinks someone has stolen the body. But it's verses 14 and 15 that bring me to the conclusion that Mary would be the worst detective in the world. She has a suspect, a man she thinks is the gardener. And she says to him, "Sir, if you have carried the body, him away, tell me where you have put him and I will get him." Trouble is, the man she thinks is the gardener is actually Jesus. She just doesn't recognise him. It's frustrating, isn't it? We can see so clearly from what the Bible tells us that Jesus was crucified, died, and 3 days later rose again. It's something that had been prophesied about for hundreds of years before it happened, and it's all recorded in the scriptures that were available to Mary and the disciples at the time. Have a look at verse 9, which sums it up nicely. They still did not understand from scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. And not only did they have scripture, Jesus had been telling them that he would die and rise again on the third day. So when asked by a group of Jews what miraculous signs he could do to prove his authority all the way back in John chapter 2, Jesus answers, "Destroy this temple and I will raise it again in 3 days." The Jews replied, "It's taken 46 years to build this temple and you are going to raise it in 3 days. But the temple he was talking about was his body. Fortunately, the story doesn't end there. Let's look at the second part of our passage. We're going to go from verse 16 to 23. Okay.
Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned towards him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And with that he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven.
Okay, so, verse
16.
Is a major turning point. Finally, she's got it. Mary has recognised Jesus and seen that he is alive. And she seems pretty happy about it too. She cries, teacher! And verse 17 even shows Jesus telling her not to hold on to him. You can imagine it, can't you? Mary is so overjoyed to see the friend that she thought was dead that she flings her arms around him and doesn't want to let go. But Jesus explains to Mary that he will be returning to his father and asks her to pass the message on to the disciples, which she does, saying to them, I have seen the Lord. And later that evening, Jesus appears to the disciples too. Have a look at verse 19 with me. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. And to prove that it was him, Jesus shows them the scars on his hands and his side. Remember, Jesus had been nailed to the cross by his hands and feet, and a soldier had pierced his side just to double check that he was dead. This is definitely the same Jesus who was killed so brutally 3 days before. And like Mary, verse 20 tells us that the disciples were overjoyed. They can't believe it. Jesus is alive. But it is unbelievable, isn't it? Although I reckon that most detectives would reach the same conclusion. Jesus definitely rose from the dead. And here's the evidence. He did die. The body was gone from the tomb, but it wasn't stolen. And people saw him alive. And as we said before, this is something that had been predicted throughout the Old Testament, and Jesus had even been saying it himself. It makes me wonder what other logical explanation there could be. But what do you think when you hear Jesus rose from the dead? Are you overjoyed like Mary and the disciples? Or have you heard it so many times that it's kind of lost its effect? Or perhaps you wouldn't call yourself a Christian, and don't see why Jesus rising from the dead is even a big deal. But I want to take you back to verse 9, which says that the disciples didn't understand that Jesus had to rise from the dead. It's quite clear here that he had to rise from the dead. But why? Well, firstly, to prove that all the things he'd been claiming were true. You see, Jesus had been claiming an awful lot of extraordinary things throughout his life. Just in John's Gospel, we've seen him claiming to be a king, the Son of God, and the Saviour of the world. In John 14, verse 6, Jesus is even bold enough to say that he is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one comes to the Father except through him. These are big claims. So it would have been pretty disappointing if he died and that was the end of the story. But if he rose from the dead like he said he would, we can trust that everything he says is true, can't we? And secondly, he had to rise from the dead to prove that he had conquered death and we can have everlasting life through him. Jesus had already shown that he had authority over death in some of the miracles he did. Remember back in John chapter 11, we saw him bring his friend Lazarus back to life. And he can give us life too. Everlasting life with his Father in heaven. And all we need to do is accept that gift and trust in him. So if that's the case, we don't have to fear death. And we have a great hope for the future, don't we? That's why we should be overjoyed, right? John wrote this account of Jesus' life so that we may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing we may have life in his name. So I hope you've seen, as Mary and the disciples did, that Jesus definitely rose from the dead, just as scripture had predicted. And that's great news. Let's just close with a prayer. Thank you, God, for what we've heard. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus, your Son, your promised King, and the Saviour of the world. We thank you that he died on a cross, taking the punishment for all our sin. And we thank you that he rose from the dead, proving that he had conquered death, and we can have eternal life through him. Lord, help us to be overjoyed when we hear this news. Help us to feel assured that we can trust everything Jesus says is true, and help us to hold on to the hope that we have in him. Lord, we pray for those that we know who haven't yet understood the evidence for the resurrection. We ask that you might help them to see that there is no other logical explanation, and that Jesus definitely rose from the dead. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.